Hey, how's it going? This is Braden from Noble Sports. Today, I'm privileged to have Maria Isabel. Maria, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for answering my email. I know a lot of people don't necessarily answer it, so I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure.
I'm just noticing the portrait behind you. That is an awesome picture behind you. I like it.
Thank you so much. My friend, who is an amazing home designer, I was like, I need a backdrop. And she liked this picture and she was like, just print this picture and put it in this nice frame. And I was like, okay, fine.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it is a nice picture. Thank you.
So let's, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your background, what it is that you do in sports?
Okay, so, well, my name is Maria Isabel. I'm a sports journalist based in New York. So I try to cover all New York sports and New York sports events. I graduated from Brooklyn College with a major in journalism and a minor in marketing. And I decided that mid-career, I decided that I wanted to pursue sports journalism. And I graduated in 2020 in the middle of the pandemic. There were not many jobs. And so I decided to open my own, to do my own job and open a bilingual sports publication, Spanish and English. And then, so yeah, I started, you know. In 2019, I did like my internship with a publication in New Jersey, and they gave me like a lot of like credentials to different sporting events. So I was able to build that credibility. So later in, I don't know, 2021 or something like that, I started applying under my own publication to credentials, and that's how I started building, you know, my publication. So right now, that's what I do. I cover the New York sports area.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's definitely a huge market up in New York for sports. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So what got you into going the sports route? Was it a family member? Was it something you grew up loving? What was your reason for it?
Okay, so no, I didn't play sports growing up. I got into sports. I started being an athlete when I was in college. I got into CrossFit, and I've been doing CrossFit for 10 years. So that's the only sport that I can say I committed myself to. My family, I am Colombian, so we are big soccer fans. But you know, when I got into college, I met friends and I started going to like different sporting events like baseball and all of these things. And I was like, I love all of this. But it was in the only team that I really like, I was so passionate about growing up was the Colombian men national team. And so when I was like seven or something, there was this huge tournament in South America and Colombia won. And I remember that memory, like I remember like Colombia was so happy when they won this championship. It's like your team winning the Super Bowl.
And was it the Copa America?
Yeah, Copa America, yes.
Okay.
And I was so little and I didn't understand too much how much it meant, but I remember everybody hugging everybody. It was a party in that country. Everybody came out. And that gave me so much happiness. And so moving forward, I forgot about it, you know, until I came to the United States. I came when I was 12. And Colombia haven't been, like, they never made it to the World Cup until 2000, 18. So, like, I almost grew up not watching Colombia in the World Cup. So in 2018, when they made it, it was like a huge deal. And And then that feeling that I felt when I was seven came back to me. You know, I was like, oh my God, they're in the World Cup. It's amazing. I feel like soccer and the Colombian men national team is the only bridge that I still have with Colombia. I don't have too many things to relate to Colombia anymore. Like, I cannot relate with politics or, you know, I came when I was so little and I've been living here for so long that, you know, but the Colombian men national team was like that thing that people cannot say I cannot root for, you know, because I grew up, you know, oh, you're too Colombian to root for this team, or you're too American to root for this team. Or, but with the Colombian men national team was something that nobody could take away from me. Anyways, I'm talking way
too much. Hey, it's all good. This is the point of the interview. Share your story.
But before that, in 2016, I'm lying. Colombia made the World Cup. That World Cup that I'm talking about, they made it in 2014. Yeah, they made it in 2014. Yes, they made the 2014 World Cup, and that's when I was so, oh my God, I remember about this feeling. I was so passionate and all of that. And so, and they did so well in that 2014. So that feeling of the Colombian men national team, you know, came back to me. It was like my lost love came back. And then in 2016, they had Copa America Centenario, like celebrating 100 years of Copa America. They had it here in the United States. And my family, we got tickets for a game at MetLife Stadium. It was Peru, Colombia. And I was so excited. It was the first time I was seeing Colombian men national team live in not a friendly game, you know? It was a real competition. We had really good seats behind the net, and the game ended in penalty kicks, and we were in the behind that net.
Cool.
Yeah. So in 2016, also Facebook got the they were launching the Facebook Live, so I went live on MetLife Stadium, and you know, everybody in Colombia was watching. They were like commenting, they were like, come on. I was like, oh, here we're at the stadium, and it's penalty. Like, I was having the time of my life. I started interviewing like people around me. I remember there was like a couple behind me. She was Peruvian and he was Colombian, or vice versa. And I was like, oh my God, how you guys are doing? How you guys are living? And I felt so happy doing it that I was like, I want to do this for the rest of my life. Also, because in 2016, while I was in college, I started having anxiety attacks. And I had never had that before. Like, I always been like very joyful, very happy. And then once I started having anxiety, I was like, oh my God, I couldn't watch the news. I couldn't watch too many bloody movies. But I love journalism so much. And so when I did that Facebook Live and I saw how much happiness sports give me, I was like, oh, maybe I can be a sports journalist, you know? I can still study journalism, but now I'm going to focus on sports. And I want people to feel what I feel when, you know, when I watch sports. And so that was the moment that I decided that I was going to be a sports journalist. Obviously, it has been like a long journey because I didn't grow up watching women that sound and look like me talking about sports. If any woman, because women sports is just something that recently we have been able to see more women on TV talking about sports. So it took me a while to realize that I actually could do this, believe in myself and all of that. But that was like the moment that I remember I was like, I want to do this. And yeah.
That's awesome. And the Colombian women's team did really good in this last World Cup. They did excellent. Yeah. They went pretty far. And I want to say, I don't remember her name, but didn't I think she had the most goals for the World Cup too. It was a 18-year-old for Colombia. Or she was up there. I can't remember her name, but and I will say South America, they do soccer the best. There's nothing like it. When I was 16, my dad took me to Chile versus US in LA.
Okay.
And it was just a friendly, but it's such a fun atmosphere. And like, who do I root for? Because I'm American, but I'm also Chilean. We sat on the Chilean side, and I was like, okay, I'm rooting for Chile. But luckily, it was a 1-1 draw. So I was like, okay, it's fine. A 1-1 draw, I'll take.
yeah, it is hard. And it happens to me a lot because Colombia and US play a lot against each other, especially the women's. So I'm like, who do I root for?
But, kind of a split flag. And I'm pretty sure the next Copa America is going to be here in the States too again.
Yeah.
In 2024. I know. Yeah. There's a couple games here. I'm in Las Vegas, and so my dad wants to go because obviously he's a huge Chile supporter. I remember when they beat Messi to win the Copa. We have a video of him saying, look, there's Messi crying. Oh, boo-hoo, look, Messi's crying. So yeah, funny.
That was the bad era for Messi, where
yeah,
the Argentinians didn't even like him.
Okay, so the next question I have for you. Okay, thank you, Penny. Like I said, she likes to talk. She's getting really big into sports. She's a huge Aces fan. I know the Aces just beat the New York Liberty. That was a great series. It was Liberty are really good.
Yeah, that was really good. The women's teams in New York are doing well, better than the men's teams.
Because Gotham's in the championship, right?
Yeah, they're in the championship. Playing, they're gonna play on Saturday, so that's exciting.
And then is it Ali Krieger that's on Gotham?
Yes, and then Rapino is in Old Reign, and they're gonna play against each other. And both of them are retiring this year, so it's a big thing.
Yeah, it'll be crazy seeing those two. Two of the best to play for the U.S.
game on Sunday, Gotham FC. It was a nice game against Portland.
Nice. Yeah, I need to start following the women's side. In a couple weeks, I'm interviewing a member of the Philippines national soccer team.
Oh, nice.
I lived in the Philippines for a couple years. I learned how to speak Tagalog. And so I'm kind of excited. It was fun watching them play in the World Cup in the women's side because they were the only debutants to win a game, which was really nice. So
nice.
But one of the next questions I'd like to ask everyone that comes on here is because obviously women in sports, like you said, there isn't very many of them, and it's still a very small field. It's getting bigger and it's getting better, and that's why I started this podcast. So little girls like Penny, my daughter, have a chance to excel in sports if they want to. So if you were in front of a whole bunch of people and the question was asked, why should people support women's in sports? What would your answer be?
I mean, it's in the people. I mean, you mean the women's teams or people that work in sports?
Both, because it is huge both ways, in women's sports and in people like yourself who work in sports.
Okay, so for us, for people that work in sports, it's really good to support because, again, people like your daughter are seeing people like me doing a job that I didn't see someone did, you know? If growing up I saw someone that looked like me doing this job, I will probably have started earlier, you know, doing this. So it's like, if you can see it, you can be it. So also women, we bring diversity. We bring a different point of view in sports, a different Outlook. I think we're breaking barriers. I think one of the things that I struggled at the beginning was how should I dress, you know? Am I dressing, if I dress too girly, are people going to take me serious or not? And these are questions that we're asking ourselves because we never saw someone before us. So if we support women in sports, we can start having like this bigger conversations. Women can have, it's like any other industry where male are dominating, you know, just bringing women, we live in society with women, and just bring our voice is such important, you know. I think we bring a different opinion, and I feel like we're still trying to like find our voice in sports, you know. Like, do we sound like the men sound, or should we just embrace how we sound and give our opinion without thinking that someone, a fan, is going to just criticize our point of view? So that's why you should support women. And the women's sports, it's so nice to see how women athletes just play in their field. And it's inspiring, you know? It's inspiring to see an athlete just go out there and live their dream. And again, sports in general create so much like confidence in someone. Like even if you don't work in sports, if you practice a sport, you know, your confidence grows, community grows, depression goes down. So just supporting women in sports we're supporting society almost, you know, like,
yeah,
part of society. So that's what I say. I think even myself, I think I have to do a better job in covering women in sports. But it's growing. Like on Sunday, I was at the watch party of the Gotham FC semifinals, and the bar was packed. And, you know, when people see that, they're like, oh, my God, what am I missing, you know?
Well, and you look at the Liberty, I'm pretty sure when they played in New York, they sold out the Barclays Center. Like, yeah, that's impressive.
It is impressive, and it is – but still, it's not as hype as if the Knicks will have made it the championship, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Which we need to get there, but – you know, it's a process. So if you want to be part of the solution, you should support women in sports. I always say, you know, you can start by supporting your local team. And that's how you can start.
Yeah, I agree. I love asking that question because everyone has their unique take on it. I had an interview a little bit ago, like a couple days ago, where the person said, because it shouldn't matter whether it's men or women. And I was like, it's simple, but it's true. I just like hearing everyone's perspective on it.
So, yeah. It's also like, I don't know, some people just like to watch women teams, and some people like to watch only male teams. But because sometimes we're like too, like we pressure people to follow a women's team just because it's a women's team, but like, you know, like everybody can follow any team they want, but yeah, be open. That's what you have to be like, be open to follow a women's team, like give it a chance, you know?
Yeah. That's some people. That's why I started watching women's sports, is because I have little eyes next to me. And it's like you were saying, it's nice for her to see someone that looks like her playing. And so I'm 6'2", and she was shocked that a girl could be taller than me, because Asia Wilson, one of the best players for the WNBA, she's 6'4", and she's like, Dad, she's taller than you. I'm like, yeah, that happens. There are tall women out there, and it's special. And I, like you said, if you would have seen someone reporting sports like you, maybe you would have started sooner. So I think, especially having people like yourself, you're breaking down those barriers for the next generation.
It's like inspiring, you know, seeing someone and it's like, oh my God, I can also do that, you know? I can also do it. And you know, you need role models, and it's nice for the next generation. I'm glad that people like your daughter are able to see women in sports more often than what we experienced. Like, I never saw the Colombian women national team play on TV until I was a grown ass woman. Like, I never saw them. Never. I didn't even know there was a Women's World Cup happening. And the Women's World Cup is happening since the 90s. And I didn't know that until, like, I was here. And you know, here the U.S. Women National Team have done an amazing job. So, you know, they get support. But, like, in Colombia, never. You will never in my mind. So it's nice that little girls and even women, you know, like, it sucks that, like, so many generations passed and they never had the opportunity to follow sports.
Yeah, it is unique. My dad was kind of the same thing. He didn't know that there was a women's Chilean team, and they've been a little bit better than the men's team. The men's team didn't make the World Cup, and so he started watching them because I pointed it out, like, that it's still soccer. And because he was in the mindset like, oh, maybe it's not the same game. It's still soccer. They're still amazing. And I forgot the goalie's name for Chile. I'm having a brain fart, but she's one of the best goalies in the world. I know she's half Chilean. No, she's Chilean and German, but she's really good too. It's just fun watching both sides. So my next question for you is, what was your, like, aha, I made it moment? Like, what was that moment that you're so proud of that you achieved?
There have been so many moments. I have achieved some things that I don't realize they're that big until, like, other people are like, I still think that I haven't achieved a lot of, like things, you know what I mean? I don't think that, but I guess one of them is like covering the Knicks at the Garden. That was like, when I did that, people start seeing me differently, you know, with more credibility. And when I was there, I covered them last season. So this year, at the beginning of this year. And when I went there, you know, I already had been like in locker rooms and in different stadiums like Citi Field, Yankee Stadium, Red Bull Arena, MetLife. So I just went to the Garden and went and did my job, went to courtside and just did my job, report, did my pregame video. And then I went, once I was going up the stairs, it was like when I realized that, oh my God, I just did that. And, you know, so many celebrities are in the court. And I was like, wow. And then people after, they were like, oh my God, you were at the Garden. And I was like, wow. Yeah. I think that was one. But there have been, like, I feel like I'm still learning and new in the industry, and that I feel like every single thing that I do, I try to, you know, to not take it for granted and be like, I'm always trying to improve and always trying to, how can I be better? So every time I get to cover a team, I get an interview or anything, it's like, wow, this is nice. This is amazing.
Have you gotten a chance to cover Messi at all? Because I know you do some soccer.
So Messi came to play with the New York Red Bulls. So Inter Miami came to play with the New York Red Bulls. That was a sold out game. Messi was not available for interviews, but like I interview his head coach and I ask him, because the talk around Messi at that time was that MLS was not a league for him, that it was too easy for him, because at that time he was winning every single game. Like, Inter Miami was really bad before Messi, and as soon as Messi started playing with them, it's like they started winning and winning and winning and winning. And so everybody was like, around the world was saying, you know, Messi, MLS is such an easy league for him. And Messi winning all of this is making Major League Soccer look bad. So I was, that was my question to the head coach. I was like, you know, a lot of people ask if that MLS is too easy for Messi. What do you think? And do you think that by him winning and winning is making the league look bad? To what he answered, like, he's a very known head coach around the soccer community. So he had coached before another team and other stars. And he was like, you know, I have seen other stars coming to MLS in the same terms as Messi, but they haven't done what Messi has done until, like, up to now. So, you know, Messi's just good. But, and then he talk about the league and how we shouldn't compare, blah, blah. But I think that was a really nice moment too, because later when I went to another game, like, other colleagues, other journalists were telling me, oh, great question. You know, my family in Colombia, they know the head coach, Tata Martino. And so when I upload those videos, they're like, oh my gosh, you got to do this. But that was like, you know, sometimes you just get into the job that you're like, you start taking the interviews just as they are. But yeah, I feel like I realize I do something big afterwards. Like, after, like, when people are telling me, oh, good job, or congratulations, or, oh, you got to do this. And I was like, okay. Because, you know, I'm always trying to, you know, I guess I'm just too hard on myself. I just always try to be better, and I think I didn't do good enough or whatever. Or I'm not where I want to be, which I think I want to stay, like, I always want to keep improving and keep getting better. And so, yeah.
That's the closest
as how much I got to Messi. I was right there when he scored, because he scored in that game, and I was right there when he scored, like, in the photographer's side. But, like, MLS has a rule that you can only record 15 minutes of the first 15 minutes of each match. So I got it on video when he entered the match, because he entered in the second half, but then I couldn't record the second, like, his goal. But I took pictures and all of that. So, yeah.
That's still cool. Messi's arguably one of the best soccer players. My dad will argue that he's not the best. He said there's a couple players that he would put over him. More old school, like Pele. He said Pele is the best. My dad's like, no one can beat Pele, and I was like, all right. And he grew up watching that, so I don't argue with him on that.
I will say that that soccer has evolved, so the way they play back then is different than the way they play now. So probably, like, I don't know. We as humans like to compare, but I think, like, you know, it was different. It was different. The rules were different too, in the sense of, like, we didn't have VAR. We didn't have, like, the, you know, the referees. They were, like, less harsh and things like that. So, you know, I think it's different.
So one of the last questions I want to ask you, I love asking this question too. If you could give a piece of advice to the little girls, so like my daughter Penny, of the world that are watching you, what would that piece of advice be?
To do, like, as of what? Like, if they want to work in sports, or?
Work in sports, or they're just any piece of advice you could give to the next generation of girls.
I will say follow. If you're lucky enough to find your passion, follow it. Don't worry about the money, how you're going to get there. Just follow it. Follow it, follow it. And never take a no for an answer. Always, if someone says no, then you ask, how can I do it then? And I think I live by this quote: when no one gives you a seat on the table, bring your own chair and put it in the middle. I think I have done that. And you know, not even money is more rewarding than doing what you love, you know? Like when you do what you love, it's just amazing. You feel complete. You feel like you're doing amazing. And, you know, that money is going to come if you follow your passion. But I feel like, and if you don't, like, the way to find your passion, I think, is like, just try different things, you know?
That's awesome. Well, thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule. Let me pick your brain a little bit. Before we go, is there anyone you would like to shout out?
Me?
Yeah.
I would like to shout out all my friends, my family. I think this is a very lonely career, I must say, too. Because, yes, you go to stadiums, but a lot of times it's only you and yourself and your tripod and camera and light and microphone. And, yes, you're surrounded by, like, tons of people. But, you know, always I am glad I can count on my family after the stadium and my close friends. I wouldn't be here without my friends and all the people that has helped me, all the mentors, all the people that has believed in me, giving me an opportunity and advice. And I'm so thankful, and I hope I can keep, you know, expanding my network, but also doing this kind of interview so I can give back and I can inspire other people to do what they love. And so, yeah, I want to thank all the people that it's around me, because I wouldn't be able to do it by myself. I want to thank you for having me in your podcast. I wish you the best. And, yes, thank you.
Thank you. This